1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in your Bibles tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Balance is a critical issue in the life of a Christian. I'm not talking about this kind of balance. You know what I'm talking about. Balance is difficult, but nothing worthwhile is ever easy, is it? The conflict that we fight is the war of extremes. This war is waged on different fronts. First of all, there's conflict between faithful evangelism and personal edification. We can be zealous for the lost to the exclusion of personal development through Bible study and prayer. Peter said, but grow in grace. And you know somebody very, very evangelistic, but very little time for studying in their Bible. That's what we're talking about. Or we get so deep in the Word that we exercise little concern for those outside of Christ. It's too evangelistic, too shallow, or you're so deep, there's no zeal about your life. Second of all, there's a battle between an enthusiastic faith and a healthy trust in God. Getting ahead of God or being visionless and in a state of inertia. There is a fine line, a preacher told me one time when I was just a kid preacher. He said, Kim, there is a fine line between faith and foolishness. And there is, but we better find that line and we better stay on the side of faith and not foolishness. Okay? Next, there's a conflict with relationships between Christians and non-Christians. On one side, we become so exclusive and inbred that we lose touch with the lost. Let me tell you how you fight against that, is you knock on doors and you will see where America is today. You don't have to watch Fox News. You can just knock on doors and you can begin to see where we are. Or we can have all our friends as non-Christians and then we become worldly. We must actively guard against extremes in our life. It's a life of balance that we need to find. Go with me now to John chapter 17. Hold your place here because we're going to be coming back to this in just a minute. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading in verse 15. All of these words are in red. This is the Olivet Discourse, one of the greatest and most doctrinal teaching in the Bible. Listen to what the Lord has to say for us tonight. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The challenge is to be attractive to the world without living like the world. So let's get some balanced counsel from Thessalonica where we began this evening. First of all, our relationships with fellow Christian. Verses 9 and 10, we read it earlier. But as touching brotherly love, Paul said, you don't need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And one of the strengths of this church or any church is the love that we have and we show to one another. Verse 10. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Just getting to this place and saying, I got it all down. Paul is saying, no, I want you to increase more and more in your love one toward another. Okay. Hold your place once again and go with me to the book of Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, one of the great practical chapters in your Bible. That's what this chapter is all about. First of all, Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Folks, sometimes just the majestic cadence of the Scriptures just means so much. Paul can say so much in a few words. It is the prerogative of deity to speak in vast and sweeping themes in just a few words. Listen to this. First words in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, you talk about vast and sweeping themes in a few words. That is how our Bible begins. And you read that and it just does something for you. Look at verse 13 now. Paul says once again, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Hospitality is one of those things that we don't do real well anymore, any of us. It used to be because your house, you had friends and you had family from out of town that would come and just stay with you. And we got to be very hospitable people and we knew how to be hospitable. Hospitable in my house when I was a kid is I slept on the floor. And I loved it. Don't you remember that one program in Andy Griffith where he got Opie got to sleep on the ironing board? Oh, yeah. Look at verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's a huge part of our love one to another. Now look at verse 18. If it be possible, I'm glad he said that. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men and all drivers. When Christians really love one another, it attracts the attention of the lost. They see something that they want and need and long for. when we were having virtual church for 10 weeks and there was just 10 individuals that I would pick and they would be here when I would preach for 10 weeks because of the COVID at the beginning of it. One of the things that that did for us, it made us understand deeply how much we miss one another when we cannot come to the house of God. We missed that. Next of all, this is what Paul tells us. Look at verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet, that you lead a quiet life. That, and this is our relationship with each other in the church, that we are to be known for quietness and undisturbable faith, not meddlesome in other people's business, not gossipy at all. That's what he's talking about here, that we lead a quiet life. And then he says this, and to do your own business. The idea is one of personal diligence, working steadily and faithfully at one's own assignment in life. Abraham Lincoln made this statement. He said, I once knew a man who did wonderfully well in life by simply minding his own business. There's a lot of truth in that. And let me give you a biblical example is a good word. Yeah, biblical example. It's in John chapter 21. Go with me there, please. John chapter 21 and verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that was, of course, the apostle John, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? The Lord's just told Peter how he's going to die. He's going to be crucified. And so old Peter is saying, I'm going to be crucified. What's going to happen to John over here? Here's what the Lord said. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me. Peter, it's none of your business. It's none of your business what happens to John. You just follow me. You know what's going to happen to you. Let me take care of the business of John. That's what he's talking about here, okay? And then he tells them to work with their own hands. That ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But in verse 11, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. There's reason to believe that this church had gone overboard on prophecy. And they were waiting around for Christ's return. They were getting lazy, and they needed a rebuke from Paul. Paul will write in his next letter to the Thessalonian church, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. They got so involved in just waiting for the Lord to come. Tina had a family in Tucson that was like that and kind of got a following, and he went up on some mountain when he had it all figured out exactly when the Lord was going to come back. That was 30 years ago. Yeah, probably all did that, but anyway, this is what's going on in the church at Thessalonica. They're just waiting around, and Paul tells them in the next letter, if you're too blooming lazy to work, you don't get to eat. And just before you pass out from starvation, I guarantee you, you'll get enough strength to work. Oh, and I'm not going to get political tonight. As Christians, we need to work hard. And as we do, respect for our work will create opportunities for us to share our faith. You will become known that you are a hard worker, and you want that to be a part of your life. You don't want to be known that you're a slacker or lazy. Okay? Whatsoever we do all to the glory of Christ. Now let's shift gears and go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Now look at verses 5 and 6. We're going to get our thoughts about others that are lost. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Three thoughts in those two verses. First of all, non-Christians are watching and wondering, so conduct yourselves with wisdom. They expect that out of you, and it's not unreasonable. We have the Spirit of God in our life, and people ought to be able to expect us to be different, to be wise. Don't allow your activities to contradict your witness. Second of all, non-Christians are listening and learning, so speak your words with grace. No put-downs, no insults, no superiority. And we've got to fight those tendencies. I think I told you, Tina and I were getting a piece of pizza at Barrow's the other day. Did I tell you this? We're getting a piece of pizza at Barrow's, and the young lady that was working behind the counter, she's talking to another young lady working behind the counter, and she makes this statement. She says, "Most people are crazy, and I don't like them." We were part of those people that were standing there, and I just got a kick out of it because she's just being as truthful as she could be with herself. Third, non-Christians are individuals and important, so respond to them with dignity and sensitivity. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. It's all about balance. It's all about us doing things wisely. Okay. We're going to do something tonight. I was informed that Ron and Ruth, they have been coming. They come down from Alaska every year, and they spend several months with us. And Ruth has a wonderful voice, and they want to join with us tonight so that they can she can be in the choir and the other things. And I'm thankful that God has impressed upon their heart to do that. They're both saved. They've been baptized, and they will unite with us on a statement of their faith. If you're happy for the decision that they... Does everybody know who Ron and Ruth are? Everybody does, yeah. Okay. Do you, George? Okay. Ron and Ruth, why don't y'all stand up? Yeah. Most of the people do, but okay, be seated. If you're happy for the decision that they've made this evening, would you let that be made known with a good hearty amen?
Amen.
Yeah. God bless y'all. It's good to have you, and we look forward to you in the choir. All right. Prayer requests.